Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Spoon Mob Pod. My name is Ray. I am your host. And on today's episode, going to be talking about Ushabu. It's a restaurant up in Cleveland. It's actually in the Tremont neighborhood, which is kind of a younger, newer neighborhood south of downtown Cleveland. It's actually just a stone's throw over from Steelyard Commons, which is kind of a shopping, not necessarily an outdoor shopping area, but just a bunch of stores, shopping district that opened. They took basically part of a old steel mill and repurposed it, made it into kind of a shopping destination for residents. And Ushabu, been there before. Actually, first time we went was about a month and a half, 2 months ago. Did a podcast about it too, just covering Chef Matthew Spinner, who's actually the owner too as well. Just his culinary career thus far up to this point, how he got involved with Ushabu first, and then also how he's kind of evolved it to what it is today, which is a regional Japanese cuisine restaurant whose concept is pretty fluid and is almost kind of like a dining destination within Cleveland, which is not a place that you'd expect there to be a restaurant like that. Even though Cleveland has a food scene that I would say it's definitely on par with Columbus, I think it actually might be a little bit better than Columbus's food scene. We have a lot of chain restaurants here in Columbus or different ownership groups that have opened multiple concepts that are all still kind of similar, you know, but they just kind of throw a twist on there. But the food itself is very similar from one restaurant to another. You know, you have your Cameron Mitchells, the people that own like all the Standard Hall and Standard Food Hall and all that shit. I never go to any of those places. Cameron Mitchell, we go to a couple, but a lot of his too, we're just not real big fans of. And there's a handful of others too, just kind of these restaurant groups that are open in, you know, multiple restaurants and within the city, but they're all still kind of the same. And like I said, we have a lot of chains, pretty much any chain that you can find in, you know, Cincinnati or Pittsburgh, like a Bakersfield, which is a taco and tequila place. You know, they have that there. I'm trying to think what other chain, like Ted's Montana is a little chain. We have a Smith and Lewinsky, which is like a 6-7 operation, multi-state kind of micro chain. And there's a bunch of others like it too as well. So we don't get a whole lot of original concepts here in Columbus. Most of those seem to be going to Cincinnati or Cleveland, especially Cincinnati, just because I think if I had to guess, the price for like a building, square footage rates and all that stuff are substantially lower when compared to Columbus or Cleveland. So it's easier for somebody who's within the state to just relocate to Cincinnati and open up a concept there and try it out and see how it goes. Even with kind of a depressed population, and I mean that as not a whole lot of people are moving to Cincinnati. Pretty much everybody moves to Columbus, especially from those two cities, as well as Dayton, Toledo, Akron, which are the other big ones that we have. So you have a limited pool, but the pool that does, you know, pool of residents that does go out and eat in Cincinnati is a pretty core group that is going to frequently do that regardless of, you know, the situation that the city kind of finds itself in. And it's definitely on the way back. I mean, you know, they're building a brand new soccer stadium there downtown too. They have a real passionate fan base for their sports teams. The Reds are always a big deal, especially on opening day. And who knows, they might make the playoffs this year with the shortened season. But we went back up to visit Ushabu just because it was right around the time of my birthday. You know, with coronavirus and everything, there's not a whole lot of places down here in Columbus that are open for dine-in. There's a handful, but a lot of them are still either just doing takeout or delivery, or if they did open for dine-in, they have since gone back to just doing takeout and delivery and have closed up. For whether it's their employees and their safety, or if it's just not financially viable because they're just not having enough people come in for dine-in to have all the employees on the staff and on the payroll, you know, various reasons that are all attributed to coronavirus and the situation that we all find ourselves in. But so we went back up there, you know, like I said, just because it was roughly around the time of my birthday, and Ushabu is closing too as well. They're actually going to be closing yesterday, would have been their last night. And the concept's going to be rebranded to an izakaya den. They're going to be doing like tempura and yakitori. So it's going to be called Bar Oni. They'll be closed. When we were at dinner talking to Chef Matthew Spinner, he said it'd probably reopen in September. He's going to take a couple weeks off, which is the first time he's been able to do that in a long time. And then also, you know, it's going to take probably about a month or so to do the updates. So they're going to change over the tabletops. They're still going to save the stainless steel ones because they have the induction burners in there. And those just plug in to the electrical that's underneath. So they're going to save those. And they'll break those out from time to time. He was talking about breaking them out in like the winter or something like that for maybe one or two of the tables so people can come in and reserve kind of the hot pot shabu shabu experience. And still keep that going. But they're also going to, you know, paint the walls. They're going to put up a couple TVs, stuff like that. So it's minor stuff. There's no major reconstruction that needs to be done. Just minor updatings and, you know, to kind of go with the new concept. I think they might be paring down their sake list a little bit too. I think they kind of already did that. But I don't know if they're going to pare it down a little bit farther or not too, but so that's kind of why we wanted to get back up there. Plus, he also brought back the 13-course kaiseki menu, which the first time we went up there, they didn't have. It was basically you could either do the hot pot or you could do the chef's tasting menu, which was like a 6-course menu. So definitely wanted to try the kaiseki menu and see what that was all about. And we had a great first experience there too as well. And, you know, just wanted to kind of get out of the city and eat some good food. And it's just Ushabu is just something we don't have here in Columbus. It's a pretty unique restaurant and a pretty unique concept that I really don't know of anywhere else. I mean, maybe there's something like it in Chicago. It's tough to say. But yeah, it's definitely, I think one of the reasons that we like it too, as well, is just because it reminds us, especially this time, reminded me of, you know, the time before coronavirus when you're going out to eat. So the first time we went, basically it was only one group at a time that they were seating just because all the coronavirus restrictions and people not knowing. So they were actually seating a couple different tables. So we were at the one end of the bar. At the other end of the bar was two guys doing the hot pot experience, and then behind us in one of the booths was like a table of I think it was three guys that kind of knew the chef, and they were doing the hot pot too as well. So there's a couple other people in there with us, perfectly fine. Everybody's socially distanced, 6 feet. You know, when you stand up to go to the bathroom or whatever, wearing a mask. Everybody in the kitchen was wearing masks, you know. So everything was perfectly, you know, safe. I didn't feel like I was gonna catch coronavirus there or anything. Felt perfectly safe with everything that they've implemented too, with spacing and seating times and everything like that. So, but it was nice to have some other people there when we were talking to Chef Spinner, and he was talking about once it closes to that he was gonna go to, I think he said Lake Tahoe. And the guys that kind of know him that were behind us, you know, one of them popped out. He's like, who's going to Lake Tahoe? And they, you know, were joking around, but gotten a little bit of a back and forth, you know. And that was fun to just kind of interact with strangers again on, you know, not that you're fully interacting with them and having, you know, in-depth conversations. But it was just nice to kind of be in a setting that, you know, you could overhear something or a conversation that you're having could just take a random turn real quick, and then you come back to it. And you don't have that much anymore in a lot of these places just because of coronavirus. You know, like the first time it was just us and Chef, and then, you know, the bar host this gentleman, and then also, you know, another cook in the kitchen. And that was it. So it's, you know, five people, you know, the first time we're there, and we're really only interacting with one, you know, and occasionally the gentleman behind the bar too, as well. So this time it was nice just because there was, you could overhear some other conversations and stuff too, as well. And it felt like it used to be. And that was one thing that really stuck with me, is feeling like it was before coronavirus, and which is the reason why, you know, you like to eat out too, as well. Not just for the good food, but you have a little bit of an ambiance and a atmosphere to it as well. So that was really enjoyable for us. I mean, the food was great too, as well. All that's kind of up on the webpage. If you go to Ushabu on the Spoon Mob website, added in all the courses that we had. There's only one that's missing. I thought I got a picture of it, but I guess I didn't. And we actually kind of ate it wrong. So it was basically chicken fat in a cup, and then there was mussels and a few other things. And when you're sitting there, you have chopsticks and you have a spoon. And so we kind of went at it with chopsticks, but we're supposed to use a spoon. I guess you're supposed to kind of eat it like a panna cotta. And we kind of were poking at it with chopsticks, I guess. But he didn't explain that to us. So that was kind of a running joke for the rest of the night. It still tasted fantastic, but that's the only course that's not up there. I just didn't have a picture of it. For whatever reason, I thought I snapped it, and it must not have either saved, or I didn't hit the button or something. So that's the only one that's missing, but everything else is up there. I would say probably, I mean, they're all good. You know, obviously I'm partial to the sushi courses that we had. You know, even the sashimi, you know, with the coconut mixed with bee pollen, that was really good. There was like a bacon dashi broth, the wasabi that came with the next course. I mean, it was all really good. I guess I would say my least favorite out of them would have probably been towards the end. It would have been like the hen egg and tuna fat over rice, maybe was probably my least favorite. And then maybe the shishito peppers would have been my second least favorite. Definitely my favorite would have been the sushi courses. Just I'm so partial to sushi these days. But then both of, you know, the bacon dashi as well as the miso soup were both fantastic. I think the miso soup's probably the best version I've ever had, especially with the tofu, which is such a weird texture, weird flavor. I've had it at, you know, multiple times, and I'm still not used to eating it. And I still have not been able to get used to the texture and the flavor and everything. And this was probably the most approachable version that I've had, and really the only version that I would probably eat again in terms of tofu. Just the way he prepared it, it didn't taste like all the other iterations of tofu that I had had in the past. So that was, you know, very surprising too, as well. So check out the webpage. But yeah, I just kind of wanted to, you know, talk about it just because the restaurant industry is, you know, there's stuff coming out, and as I'll cover in food news, but there's just different things coming out, and it's, nobody really knows if there's going to be what they're going to put in the second kind of stimulus package in terms of small businesses and stuff like that. That's all kind of being worked out, but it sounds like there is going to be a second stimulus package coming out in August. Yeah, and just places are closing, and we're headed towards a recession. There's really no way that we're not going to be in a recession. Right now, I guess the hope is to pretty much avoid a depression. Just, you have so many people that are going to get laid off or going to get continuously laid off. I think you're going to start seeing some companies, you know, we have companies here in Columbus that have already pivoted to nobody's going back in the office till 2021. And I think a lot of those companies are going to scale back the amount of office space that they have if they can. Some companies, you know, own the building or whatever, the main tenant. So maybe that's not exactly the easiest thing to do, is to split up a large floor or something like that. But I think you're going to start seeing, you know, companies shift a little bit, especially ones that are forward thinking, that are really concerned about PR and their reputation. There's going to be an influx of people looking for work. So far, I've poked around just through LinkedIn and stuff like that, just to kind of see what's going on. And the job market seems pretty open, at least here in Columbus. I'm not sure about other cities, but it's really, the lower level workers. So, your people that they're making above minimum wage, but they're still below like the $15 an hour mark, which is pretty much the mark everybody says you need to have to, be able to afford a standard 2-bedroom in any major city or anything like that. And yeah, we're just headed for a strange time, and I don't blame, shouldn't even say blame. I mean, I completely understand why Spinner is changing over the concept. With everything that's coming, you can just see it, and it's just going to be a slow snowball. But once it happens, it's going to get really weird. And yeah, and if you're running a restaurant now, you have to have multiple avenues of revenue streams. So like, I think I mentioned before, but like Dave Chang talked about on podcast a few months ago about, CPG, consumer packaged products and consumer packaged goods, I believe is actually what that stands for. And just, he started kind of ramping up on that with, sauces and salts and stuff, but it makes a lot of sense. And you have to have, that revenue stream. If you have a sauce or something like that, that you can bottle and sell, you need to be doing that. You need to be doing takeout, possibly delivery, but hopefully not dealing with any of the delivery apps if you can avoid it. And then in restaurant dining, alcohol sales, if you can sell bottles of alcohol too, as well, depending on your state, that's another revenue stream. So you can't really rely on just people coming to eat at your restaurant anymore. You have to have 3, 4, 5, different streams of revenue that are all being funneled into one big pot. And that's the same for a lot of industries, whether it's, starting with this website and podcast. There's a website, there's the Instagram page, there's a podcast now. That's three different avenues that we're putting content out. So hopefully people, enjoy one of those three or all three on a limited basis or all three all the time would be great, but that's not realistic. So yeah, that's why there's a website and a podcast and an Instagram page, because people consume stuff differently and people get more enjoyment out of, just photos, or some people like to read, but they don't want to read for 15 minutes on something, but they'd rather listen to a podcast for 15 minutes about it. So it's all that kind of stuff. And it's, everything's kind of changing, and you have to be able to pivot and think about things in a little bit more of a outside the box, abstract kind of way. There's a lot of restaurants here in Columbus that are hunkering down and just hoping like it all blows over, and it's not going to happen. They're going to wind up losing their shirt if they continue to kind of operate that way. But, that's not, that's not really my purview to, consult for them. But I think they're crazy. Just some of these places, they're just doing takeout and delivery, and like that's not sustainable. Like this is going to be going on for the next, really the rest of the year. And people are hoping that there's going to be a vaccine and stuff like that. I'm really skeptical on that. I think a lot of that's just wishful thinking. Like I said previously, hopefully there is a vaccine this fall. I'm not going to be the first in line for it, just because God only knows what kind of side effects that's going to have, just because they're going to push it through testing as fast as possible. So they might not do kind of all the necessary steps. They might kind of skirt one or two, or maybe not do as many trials as they normally would. Who knows? There's a lot of money. The government's agreeing to pay, $1 billion to a company if they can develop a vaccine and give them like 100 million doses or something. So it's just getting weird and strange, and completely get why he's changing his concept. I do hope that, a year or two down the road, everything kind of settles out and he's able to either flip back from the bar concept to kind of the Ushabu restaurant, or, maybe get another small space somewhere else and open kind of a tasting menu concept. And hopefully that comes back. you know, because that's kind of what we enjoy the most. I mean, that's, you know, selfishly, but yeah, being at a counter, multiple courses, kind of letting a chef just do their own thing. And that's kind of what we enjoy. So hopefully, you know, that comes back in the future. But I'm sure, you know, Baroni's going to be cool. We'll check it out. You know, we won't make a special trip up there for it, but if we're in the city for some other reason, we'll definitely pop in and try a few, you know, plates and have a glass or two of sake and see what's going on over there. But yeah, just kind of, you know, it was a great experience. I'm glad I got to finally get up there. Sad to see it close just because it is the type of restaurant that we enjoy, you know, the small seating, you know, 15 to 30 people at a time and the counter and chef's, you know, chef's choice coming up with the menu, ever changing menu and stuff like that too, as well. Kind of my first exposure to quality sake too, as well. So that might be something that, you know, as I mentioned before, I'll probably get into. Still working my way through some champagnes and stuff like that too, primarily, but definitely plan on going towards, you know, trying some different sakes and stuff too. Eventually, just have to be careful on how much of that you consume at one time, because it just hits you different, you know, anything like that. Like even champagne hits different than red wine or white wine too as well. But yeah, definitely glad I got the experience. Sad that I missed out on when they were doing sushi up there. That would have been really cool. So kind of the one regret there. But yeah, hopefully he opens another concept, or even maybe open something down in Columbus. That'd be really awesome to see. I know he was exploring that at one point too as well that he mentioned. But the space actually got taken by Seesaw, the Forward Hospitality Group, kind of nightclub there. We're not fans of it. We tried their food once. It was trash. It's not our environment. I really have no interest in being in a nightclub. So, but yeah, so, I mean, definitely check out Baroni when it opens. Sounds like, I mean, there'll be a press release for it, but it sounds like probably end of August, early September, somewhere around there would be the soonest. And yeah, it sounds like it'd be a cool concept, and I'm sure the food's going to be amazing. I mean, just the tempura that we had and the few things that we've had that might pop up on the menu there at the Baroni concept, they're going to be really good. So it'll be a cool place to check out. Recommend, encourage that you, you know, follow them on Instagram. It's still at Ushabu right now on Instagram. I don't know if, like I said, I don't know if they're going to change that over or if they're just going to leave it. Just Ushabu restaurant on Instagram, but definitely check out the page on Spoon Mob. That'll stay up even though, you know, the concept's closing. That'll get updated here, but all the courses that I've had except for the one are up there, and just kind of my thoughts on why it's an important restaurant. Previous podcast link is up there too as well, so check that out if you want to learn more about Matthew Spinner and kind of his history. Really hope, you know, eventually this podcast gets big enough where, you know, maybe we can get him for like an interview for an hour or two. I think that would be really cool. He's got a lot of insights into the restaurant industry on how to do things and how other restaurants, especially in terms of a pandemic, are just not, they're just not hustling or grinding like they should be to save their business. Like, you know, you're never, as a restaurant owner, you're probably never going to experience anything like this again. At least you hope not. But this does seem like a, you know, it's a seismic event for the industry at large, but also as an individual owner, like this is probably going to be your most challenging, like, you know, thing that you ever face head on. And, you know, he was talking about it, and there's just a lot of places that are just kind of like, eh, well, you know, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, no, man, like nobody's coming to save you. Like you got to figure it out. And so that was really insightful. You know, just kind of having a conversation with them over the course of the thing. It was like a two and a half hour dinner, you know, that we were there for. So would love to eventually get him on the podcast. I think that'd be something that I would definitely enjoy, and just, you know, conversation just all over the place too as well. So hopefully be able to do that in the future along with some other chefs in the area too as well. But for now, just check out the page and the podcast on Ushabu. as always, give us a follow on Instagram, at SpoonMob. You know, download, rate, review, subscribe, podcast, wherever you get podcasts from, Spotify, Apple, Pocket Cast, I think is like our third biggest platform randomly. A couple of people must just really like that, you know, that user interface, I guess. I've never used it, but I pretty much use Spotify for all my stuff now. And then there's a handful of others that I use Podcast Republic for just because I have an Android. And I have some custom RSS feeds that I have to have in there for special edition podcasts and stuff. So, but yeah, you know, send us your feedback, give us a follow on Instagram, check out the other podcasts. You know, we have the food news, which comes out every Friday, Saturday, depending on the day, depending on the week, what I got going on. Also have, Parts Now Known, which I'm doing with my friend Ben there, who's actually been on this feed, too, as well. I think last week was the Pistachio Vera episode. And that was the first time that he had Pistachio Vera. So check that out too as well. You know, he's getting better at podcasts, getting more comfortable, as am I. And, you know, I listened back to, I think the one I did on like Ivan Rahman, I think that was the best that I had sounded on a podcast. And that's like episode, you know, I don't know, 15 or something like that. So I'm definitely getting better. You know, we're going to get better as a duo too as well. And just, you know, not stepping over each other's thoughts or anything like that. You know, we cleaned up some of the audio issues. I messed up the audio on the Koreatown episode. So for the last 15 to 20 minutes on that episode, I had to make an edit and it didn't align properly after I made the edit. And I checked it, but I didn't check it far enough, I guess, in the time box. And so it kind of echoes a little bit. And I think there might have also been one other technical issue that I figured out actually today with it too as well. So that'll get cleaned up. But for like the last 10 to 15 minutes, it kind of, there's a little bit of an echo on any of my audio. Ben's is clear and fine. Mine kind of sounds like, I don't know, almost like I'm speaking into a fishbowl at times. So definitely get that cleaned up, but I'm aware of it. You know, I already know what happened, so that shouldn't happen again. But the next episode on that feed, though, in that series is Columbia, and that'll be coming out on Wednesday. So make sure to check that out. But like I said, give us a follow on Instagram. Appreciate everybody listening. I think we got, we're in double digits now on like listeners, which is pretty cool. And we're getting up there. I think we're, you know, out of the episodes that we've done, I think we're about like 200 listens and downloads. So about, I think we have about like a 9 to 13 person audience, give or take. So appreciate everybody listening. Like I said, shoot us your feedback. Love to hear, you know, got a couple recommendations of things I should check out that I can do during the quarantine too as well. You'll actually also, so if you go on the website too, you'll see some changes. There's some pages that are going to be getting taken out. I started going through just everything that I kind of written about and reviewed and everything. And there's just a handful that were in there, you know, and they won awards for different things or were associated with, you know, reputable chefs. And they're just not places that I would go back to. And they weren't places that I would recommend someone go eat based on my experience there. So they're not going to have pages anymore. I will do a podcast about them. And I'm just trying to figure out how I want to do that because, you know, a lot of that is going to be geared towards the negative side of things, especially with my personal experience there. And I'm fully aware of, you know, this is somebody's business, this is somebody that, you know, is working hard to, you know, make everybody happy and satisfy everybody who comes and eats there. And you're not always going to have a good experience. You know, that's why critics, you know, usually go 2-3 times. I don't have that luxury, but I'm just going off initial reaction just because I think that's actually maybe a little bit more important. Because that's, if you were going in blind, you know, somebody who's listening was going in blind at this establishment, wouldn't you want to know about the person who went in blind too as well, kind of what they experienced more so than somebody who's been there 3-4 times and just gives you the aggregate of those. And that's kind of how I approach it. I know it's maybe a little bit extreme where if you get a bad experience, you know, it can kind of ruin your relationship with a restaurant, but on the flip side of that, like, you know, if you had a bad first experience, like, you're really going to go two more times to make sure, like, you're probably not going there again. So that's how I approach it. And I'm going to do some podcasts on those places too as well. So if you don't see them up on the website, that's probably why. I just want the website to be all places that I would recommend somebody go to if they were in that city or in that area, part of the country or whatever. You know, this is a place that you should check out for this style of food. It's a place that I would go back to again if I was there too as well, or might even build a trip around depending on the establishment. So everything now on the page is stuff that I would fully stand behind. I just took out the stuff that I was kind of wishy-washy on. So yeah, you can check that out. Just finished the Anchorage page, so that's up. Be doing a podcast about that soon too as well, and we'll actually have Ben on too for that, just because he ate there multiple times too as well, so definitely want to get his take on it. I only ate there the once with him, but I know he ate there a handful of times. So that's the newest page up there, and we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We got about like 10 pages still left to do now that I went through some stuff. So all that stuff will be coming soon. So just, you know, stay subscribed to the feed. More details on kind of how I decide to approach some of those other restaurants that are just going to be podcast only. Not sure what I'm going to do, how I'm going to integrate that too as well. So we get that figured out. But yeah, I mean, there's always going to be more content. And even with, you know, coronavirus, I mean, we still have a handful of places to eat. Check out the Columbus page too as well, because those are getting updated pretty frequently. Probably say about once a week, you're going to see something new on there. Fox in the Snow is a relatively new page that I finally got done. Pistachio Vera has been updated. Rock Mill recently got updated too as well. So check out all those. Appreciate everybody listening, everybody subscribed and rating, reviewing and all that stuff. But yeah, until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.